This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. And if you're looking for feathers, paint, wood chips, yarn, or natural materials, you might want to pay a visit to Indigo Hippo. It's a first-of-its-kind creative reuse center located in Over the Rhine. And the items are donated, they're cleaned up, and they're sold at affordable prices so that anyone can utilize them. And here to talk about Indigo Hippo and the creative reuse concept, our founder and executive director, Alicia Budke, and Director of Materials, Emily Farrison. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Alicia and Emily, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're really excited to be here.
So you're in Over the Rhine. Where exactly is this?
Yes, we're on the corner of 13th and Main. Yeah, you'll see it. Big windows, big
Can't
indigo
miss it.
Sign. Yep,
indigo painted on all sides.
Alicia, you came up with the idea for this. You've been doing a lot of founding of nonprofits. How did you come up with the idea for Indigo Hippo? How did you come up with this particular idea?
We're really lucky in our city to support creatives and creativity. And so I've been kind of spending my time since I graduated from DAP building resources that support that creative community. I co-founded Crafty Supermarket and moved on to run Second Sunday on Main for a few years. And those are both local events that allow artists and designers and makers to sell their materials and share their story and make their passion into their life path. And this really came from that same vein.
You're a DAP student, so
yes.
What area of design were you studying at DAP?
Industrial design.
Okay, so you from industrial design to designing nonprofit organizations.
Yeah.
quite a leap.
Yes.
The name. Emily, you want to tackle the name or you want Alicia to do this?
I can start and Alicia can.
Because that's interesting. Indigo Hippo. How did you come up with that?
Mm-hmm. So indigo and hippos, those are the animal and the color that both represent creativity. And now Alicia has a better way of explaining those.
Sure. Indigo is this very weird, potent color that everyone sees differently. And it really represents that individuality, especially in creativity, and how important that is. And hippos, their creativity is represented by their relationship with water, and they use that water to support themselves. And in the same way, we can use our creativity to support ourselves.
So a hippo is a creative animal.
It represents creativity, and I'm sure they're very creative.
Now, when we talk about creative reuse, what exactly does that mean?
Creative reuse can mean a couple different things. This model of creative reuse exists in over 100 different models, all throughout the nation. And typically it means that you are kind of reappropriating materials and kind of getting them into the hands of folks who would use them or need them. Some of the models have more of an environmental focus to them, so, you know, just purely keeping materials out of the waste stream, recycling, reusing. And then from a creative standpoint, creative reuse is more focused on kind of reusing and revitalizing creative materials. So that's what we are. We hold both of those spaces because we're definitely interested in keeping materials out of the waste stream, but our focus in our store is primarily fine arts materials, but also any kind of material that can be construed as creative or used for a creative purpose.
So, so a big part of this, I take it, is making art accessible to more
exactly.
people?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, Indigo Hippo really came from our belief that everyone is creative and that creativity is this amazing tool that we all have to explore and support who we are and connect with others. And because of this, there shouldn't be barriers to creativity. And so that's what our physical space on Main Street does. It works to make the tangible materials we need to create more accessible. It basically functions like a thrift store for art supplies. So like you mentioned, everything is donated by individuals and businesses and organizations, just the things that they're done with and maybe you were about to throw away or leftovers from a project that they know someone else can use. And it's still really good stuff, and some of it's very weird, but still great. And all the donations are tax deductible. And we take them in and clean them and get them ready to go back out in the community. And the storefront is open to the public, and all the costs are kept as low as possible. And like you said, it makes creativity more accessible. Any of the revenue that is generated through the space goes to keeping the space open and running. It also supports our programming that we're working to develop with partners like Camp Joy and Mortar. And that programming allows individuals to figure out who they are and how they create, and also shows that creativity is an approachable way that we can look at emotional and mental differences and growth.
Tell me a little bit more about that relationship with Camp Joy.
Oh, of course. So we'll be out there all summer doing all of their visual arts programming and also providing the materials. So there'll still be traditional creative visual camp art happening, but also starting to layer in some of those different creative reuse materials so campers can go home and know that some of the things that they already have around them, they can use to be creative.
Emily, what are some of the more interesting, unusual artists can use about anything to create
Very
art.
True. Very true.
But what are some of the more interesting and unusual things that that you have?
Oh man, it's hard to pinpoint because I see most of the materials come in daily, and it's just, you know, wonderful piles of craziness to sort through. And I'm trying to think of just a couple really exciting weird things. Let's see. A couple weeks ago, we got a 3D modeling pen, like a 3D printing pen, which was cool. So that was a new thing. Really, it's just a range of everything from traditional paints. We've got a whole kind of nature section that has twigs and sticks and dried flowers and beads by the bucket, essentially. Stickers, you know, papers.
And runs the gamut. These are all donated items?
All donated.
It's amazing.
Do you go out and proactively ask people for donations, or are they're just popping up for you?
At this point, they just come to us. We did two kind of donation drives at the beginning right before we opened, but now, you know, no matter if it's, you know, rain, shine, we still get folks coming in who are just excited to have a home for their art supplies or their creative materials. So we get a lot of excitement from people who they know they have, I have this, you know, half a bottle of paint, and I have this open pack of paper, and I have this half-used pencil, and I know these are still useful, but, you know, what am I going to do with these? I can't resell them. I can't, you know, donate them to Goodwill. And so they just hang on to them, and then when they find out that, we take, you know, half-used good art materials, they get really excited, and they'll be like, we have so much to bring you. Let me, you know, we'll bring a carload to you next time we see you. And that's really what happens. We get people bringing carloads of materials to it, and that's great.
So I take it it's not always the same stuff that you have available. It's always changing.
Just like a thrift store, you know. It's always changing. Always. You can never guarantee exactly what you'll find, which has a novelty to it when you come in because, you know, you find something, you've kind of dug through a bin, and you find this little treasure, and you know, okay, the next time I come, it probably won't be here, and so people get really excited about finding little treasures.
How important, Alicia, has support and mentorship been in getting this initiative underway?
Oh, it's been very important. I think it's a huge part of why we're doing what we're doing, both to provide mentorship for the community, and also we've been really fortunate to have a lot of support and mentorship kind of passed down to us from other nonprofits and just from community members that cared along the way. It's not the easiest thing we've ever done to start a nonprofit, and so it's been amazing to really have that support and on those hard days have someone come in and just say, thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm so excited. I've been looking for this thing to exist, and now it does.
So you're getting a lot of good reaction from people saying they really like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, what about art classes? Do you have community art classes available?
We're focusing on the partnerships that we mentioned and really doing that outreach and seeing what else is needed from the community and the ways that we can support and complement what exists and then what is still needed after that and what will be offered through the space. We have started to work with the Contemporary Arts Center, their teen council, they came in, and Over the Rhine Future Leaders, they came in. So we've started to do workshops like that with specific groups to be in the space and use the materials and do individual programming.
Yeah, you've also got a gallery, though, don't you? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I can speak to that. So in the space, it is a store, but then we have wall space, so that functions as our gallery, and every final Friday we have a new show. So we love to support our local artists and give them the opportunity to either be a part of a group show or have a solo show, and that show runs the entire month, and if the artist wants their pieces to be for sale, they're for sale, and they get to be kind of showcased in our space, which is great because we have so much window space that people from the streets really get to see the work, even if they don't come in. And it's been really great so far. We've only had two shows since we're barely 2 months old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. What kind of reaction are you getting to the shows?
Yeah, our first show was a group show, and the reaction to that theme and to it being a brand new gallery and storefront was pretty incredible. Do you remember how many pieces came in?
Oh, boy.
Way more than we were expecting.
Way more than we were expecting.
That's always a good thing.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure.
Better too many than too few, right?
I'm trying to think how many pieces.
Course.
I would say we had at least 30, probably 40 or more. Really, our walls were covered with work of local artists. And, yeah, the response was really amazing. Our kind of theme of that show and kind of representative of launching Indigo into the world was we're all in this together. And it was really neat to see the diversity because that's such a broad topic that artists can speak to and make work about. It was neat to see the wide variety of pieces we had on our wall, and which kind of complemented Indigo being kind of just a creative reuse center that isn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
straight cut and streamlined. I don't know.
Exactly. It really kind of exemplified how very personal this is for us, and that it comes from a place of, you know, in my life when things have been hard, it's been my connection to other people and my creativity that has made all the difference. And so that's why we're doing this.
Alicia and Emily, thank you for joining me today. Indigo Hippo founder and executive director Alicia Budke and director of materials Emily Farrison.